الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد الفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الناس إن وعد الله حق فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا، صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسول النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. All praises and worthy of worship is due solely for Allah, the originator, the sustainer, the protector of the seven heavens and the earth. The Quranic ayat which I recited, the meaning of which is, O people, don't let the worldly life to deceive you. Surely the promise of Allah is true. And the promise of Allah is, we will rise from our graves, we will be summoned in the court of Allah. There is Qiyamah al-Kubra and there is Qiyamah al-Sughra. And Qiyamah al-Kubra is when the sun will be 1 mile above people's heads. And Qiyamah al-Sughra is accountability of one's action and deed will commence. Often we might have heard this hadith, الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَالْجَنَّةُ كَافِرٌ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. This world is a prison for a believer and a pleasure resort for a disbeliever. A prisoner behind bars. His movements are restricted. He cannot go wherever he wishes. And he cannot eat any food that he desires for. There is a bird in a cage. This bird is watching all the other birds that are flying from one tree to the other, from one garden to the other. So this bird is desperately waiting when this cage can open, that I can fly out and enjoy flying from one tree to the other, from one garden to the other. Similarly, this world for a believer, it's a prison. When a believer is about to leave this world, then he is yearning, he is eager in meeting Allah and enjoy the bounties and blessings which Allah has kept in store for him. There is another bird in another cage, and the food is before him. But outside the cage, there is a person standing with a knife. This bird is not prepared to leave the cage, because he knows very well, if the cage is open, I'll be caught, I'll be slaughtered. Similarly, this world for the disbelievers is a pleasure resort. Let them enjoy themselves. The moment a disbeliever leaves the world, then punishment is awaiting for him. Two people went fishing, a believer and a mushrik, and both are fishing close to his mushrik. He caught plenty of fish, while his believer caught just one fish. Malaika said, "Oh Allah, this mushrik, he ascribes partnership with you. Oh Allah, he doesn't believe in you. And oh Allah, he's caught so many fish, while his believer caught just one fish. Oh Allah, he believes in you, he worships you." Allah said to the malaika, "Look up." When they saw the blazing fire of Jahannam, scorpions and snakes, Allah said, "That's the final abode of the mushrik which you see." Allah then said to the malaika, now look up again. When they saw a beautiful mansion with streams flowing beneath, Allah said, that is a final abode for the believer. If this world was of some benefit, some value in the sight of Allah, Allah would not have given a sip of water to a disbeliever. From the light of one hadith we learn, the example of this world, the value of this world, is like a person who dips his finger in the river. When he picks up his finger, how much water will there be on his finger? Just a drop or less than a drop. This drop or less than a drop is the world in comparison to the year after. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam says, the example of this world regarding that person whose purpose and object and whose focus is only behind this world, behind the material of this world, then he is like a person in a jungle. He heard the roar of a lion. He begins running. He climbs into the tree. He sits on a branch. When he looks up, hey, it's a beautiful red apple. He plucks the apple, he takes a bite. At the beginning of the branch on which he is sitting, there are two rats. One is a white and one is black in color. And gradually they are nibbling away. Standing by the tree is a lion. When he looks down, it's a well. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam explains. He says, the tree refers to a person's lifespan. He may live for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. The beautiful red apple is the glamour, the beauty, the luxury of this world. And the two rats, the black and the white, are the alternating of the night and day. Each day that passes us, we are getting closer and closer to the grave. And the lion that is standing by the tree, that is Malakul Maut, angel of death. The branch breaks. The well refers to the person, to his grave. And what's awaiting for him? Punishment in the grave. For this reason, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, "Ad-dunya mal'unatun." This dunya, this world is cursed. Mal'unun ma fiha. And whatever it contains. For this reason, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, I do not fear my ummah. If they are faced with poverty, yes, I fear my ummah. When the world will open before them, just as it was open for the nations in the past, you will then compete with one another, just as they competed with one another. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then said, you will be destroyed as they were destroyed. The people of Sabah, Allah blessed them with plenty of bounties and blessings. The commentators have written, so clean, you wouldn't find a snake or a scorpion in a place called Sabah. If a person was traveling towards Sabah, if on him was this bug or an insect, then before he could enter the place Sabah, it would die and fall off before he can enter the city called Sabah. The trees were laden with fruit. If a person left his home with an empty basket, within few steps he would return with a basket full of fruit. 13 Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam came to the people of Sabah, reminded them, value and appreciate the bounties and blessings of Allah. After the demise of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the people of Sabah began to lead a carefree life. They began to do as they felt and as they wished. What happened was, Sabah was surrounded with many dams. These dams burst, destroying all what they owned, all what they possessed. Many were displaced and people left and settled elsewhere. Allah blessed Qarun with so much of wealth. The Mufassireen have written Leave aside his treasure. Just the keys to his treasure was so heavy that a group of people, they would stand carrying the keys to his treasure. Karun felt proud of himself and he regarded the treasure, the wealth to be mine. I work for it. It's mine. It's my intelligence. He defied Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He accused Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. What happened? His wealth brought him total destruction. His wealth, together with the Qarun, they were sunk in the earth. The people of Ad, they were tall, respecting Allah, they were tall, powerful, mighty, mustabsirin, they were intelligent as far as worldly matters were concerned. Hazrat Hud alayhi salatu advised him, don't oppress, don't disobey Allah, follow me, you will attain success. No. They rejected his message. For 3 years, they were faced with a severe drought. Perhaps they may reflect. Perhaps they may repent. Perhaps they may correct themselves. But no, they were adamant. Eventually, Allah inflicted on them a severe punishment. A severe, strong, violent, destructive wind blew, destroying their homes. Uprooted trees. Animals were lifted and thrown. The people of Ad were strong, powerful, very tall. They said, we will cling ourselves to one another and we will hold firm. Most the wind will shake us about. Who can challenge and face the punishment of Allah? This violent wind lifted them up and threw them like fallen logs. The root cause to all vice, evil, immorality, immodesty, jealousy, hatred, disunity, fighting, killing. It's hubbud dunya. It's a love of this world. And it's a love of this world that makes a person unmindful regarding his duties and responsibilities towards his wife, children, and his subordinates. And it's a love of this world, respecting others, the distance and drift a person away from the love of Allah, from gaining the proximity of Allah. Salaba, he came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said, O Prophet of Allah, make dua that Allah grants me barakah, blessing in my wealth. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, O Salaba, aren't you happy with my way of life? If I wish, the mountain will turn into gold and be with me, but I dislike it. Salaba left. After a period of time, Salaba comes back. And he says, O Prophet Allah, make dua, Allah grants me barakah in my wealth. If Allah grants me barakah in my wealth, I will fulfill the need of all the destitute, the poor and the needy. So make dua for him. Salaba just few goats. The effect of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam dua was, his flock of goats began to increase. And he moved further because the place was small. Salaba then moved further away. Initially, Salaba used to perform his 5 namazes behind Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Where? In Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where the reward is 50,000. Now that he has moved further away, he began performing his Zuhr and Asr namaz behind Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. His Maghrib, Isha and Fajr, he began performing at home. His flock of sheep began, goats began to increase much more. So the place where he moved over to was small as well, so he moved further away. Now, Salaba is performing all his namazes at home except Jummah namaz. The flock of goats began to increase much more. And the place where he moved over to as well was small. Salaba then moved further away. Now, no Jummah namaz, no 5 namazes in the masjid. So it so happened, on one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, what's the matter, I don't see Salaba? So some companions, Ya Rasulullah, His flock of goats has multiplied so much, he's gone further away. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Ya wayha Salaba, regret for Salaba. And at that time, the command of zakat was revealed. Nabi alayhi to collect zakat from all those on whom zakat is binding. And mentioned, go to a person from the Bani Salim tribe. So when he came to Salaba, and they showed him the letter on behalf of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that zakat is binding on you, zakat is farz upon you. He looked at the letter, and he said, this is tax. And tax is taken from non-Muslims, not from believers. Anyway, go to whoever you are going, and on your return, come back. So when he came back to Salaba, he looked at the letter again and he said, this is tax. This is not zakat. Both the companions returned. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said 3 times, Ya wayha Salaba. Ya wayha Salaba. Regret for Salaba. Regret for Salaba. Sahaba kiram who were listening to the talks, advice from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there is some who were related to Salaba. Immediately they came up to Salaba, began to admonish Salaba. Salaba, do you know what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said regarding you? Then Salaba came with his animals to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Rasulullah, these animals are for zakat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam refused taking it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allah has stopped me from... After Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left, Salaba brought his animals of zakat to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abu Bakr said, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has refused, I cannot. Similarly, he came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Umar as well refused. He speak to elders, Salaba was not contented with the provision Allah had provided him with. But afla man aslama, successful that person who brings Islam, wa ruziqa kafatan, and Allah has given him sufficient sustenance, wa qanna'ahu Allah bima atahu, and he is contented with what Allah has blessed him with. We all are searching for contentment, for peace of life, serenity, happiness. What more could be said? When Allah Himself gives us a prescription, in Hadith Qudsi, Allah says, Ya Ibn Adam, O son of Adam, tafarrag li ibadati, free yourself from my worship. What I will do, Allah says, Amla'u sadraka ghinan, I will enrich your heart with contentment. And wa asudda faqran, I will remove your poverty. And O son of Adam, wa illa taf'al, if you do not free yourself my worship, then mala'tu sadraka shughlan, I will fill your heart with anxiety, I will fill your heart with worry, and I will not remove your poverty, your work will remain incomplete. The Spirit of Allah, we are human beings. We are not malaikas. Angels, they don't eat, sleep, drink, they have no passion, no desire, no nothing. And we cannot survive without food, without drink, without shelter. Surely, most definitely, Sharia does not stop one from earning halal sustenance. Hadith says, Allah loves that person who earns his sustenance with his hands. That person goes to the jungle with a rope. He chops wood. He ties it up, makes it a bundle. He comes to the bazaar and he sells it. He is better than that person who goes out begging, who goes out asking people. And that husband who earns his halal sustenance, his children, his servants, all will be regarded, taken as charity from his side. However, if the water in the ship and the boat will reach its destination, but the moment the water enters the boat or the ship, then people on the boat are heading towards destruction. Similarly, if the love of the world enters our heart, respect to others, then we are harming ourselves. Then we are regarded among the abnai dunya, among the sons of this world. Now before I conclude, how will we determine and how will we get to know the love of this world is in our hearts or not? If our concern and worry is regarding life after death, will we answer correctly in the grave by Munkar and Nakir? Will we receive a book of deeds on the day of Qiyamah on right hand or left hand? Will we be under the shade the day when there won't be any shade except the shade of Allah's? Will we cross the pool Sirat correctly or not? If this is our concern and if this is our worry, then inshallah we will be regarded amongst the Abnai Akhirah, amongst the sons of the year after. Or as respect to Allah, we are harming ourselves. In conclusion, may Allah grant us all the ability. Before I conclude, Hazrat Luqman the wise advised his son, "Oh my son, if you want to commit a sin, if you want to commit a sin, then look for a place where there isn't anyone watching you. And which is that place where Allah and His malaikas are not watching us?" Then says, "Oh my son, if you want to commit a sin, then look for that place where the malaikas and Allah are not watching you. And oh my son, commit that amount of sin where you can bear the punishment. We can't bear the punishment of this world. Who from amongst us can bear the punishment in the grave the year after? Therefore, respect to Allah, may Allah grant us all the ability and tawfiq to value and appreciate the bounty, the blessings of Allah. And may Allah enrich our hearts with the love of Allah. Now how to remove and how to decrease the love of this world? Visit the graveyard. Take a lesson from the deceased ones. They are lying under heaps of sand. They are those who left behind the empire. They are those who left behind a flourishing business. Who left behind all the degrees. Today they are sleeping under heaps of sand. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said, to decrease the love of this world, appreciate. Unzuru ila man huwa asfal minkum. Look at those who are under you. Look at those who are underprivileged. Look at those who are waiting in the bus stand for waiting for a bus or a taxi. Then looking at those who are above you. In conclusion, may Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat to practice upon whatever is the siwa.